done my time, Chet, and I believe me, I am still learning. And I've got this old Lafayette HA-600 receiver here. I've wanted one since I first saw it in their catalog back in the 60s. But this thing is transistorized, and I know nothing about transistor circuit. I know the vacuum tubes, but I do not know the transistors. And I've been watching YouTubes and YouTubes. I've got the thing going, but it's got a lot of distortion on the signals. The signals got to be real strong. And like I said, you're going to be constantly learning in this hobby. And I would hate to go in this FT-900 I got here for HF. I'd hate to have to go in there and repair something. But I appreciate what you're doing, trying to help new lambs. I know we've got some new lambs technicians that just got their license. And I know they're interested in what's going on, but they just won't get on here and ask the questions, Chad.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I get it. I do. I know that's a difficult step to take. I know I've watched my wife struggle with it when she got her license, and she told me, well, I'll go get my license, but I will never, ever talk on radio, ever. And I don't know. Something just changed, I guess. And when she got over that initial fright, I experienced that 2 years ago, and there was a little bit of anxiety when I got my technician, because when I first got my radio, it took me 2 days to figure out how to program the thing, and I jumped up on the net at 2:00 in the afternoon, and Steve and Dave, W4DJ Jumpip, were having a conversation about their RC planes, and I found a break in the conversation. So I jumped on and said, CQ, CQ, CQ. This is KO4NUE. And my journey started right then. So, you know, I get it. I do. And my dad was standing right there when I said it. And, you know, Steve was really nice about it. And just said, hey, you know, was very professional and polite. And I really appreciated that, you know. And I don't think I would have got that on a CB band or something else like that. And other than the incident that happened with the hurricane net, and I can understand where the guy was coming from. I do. I do understand that. And it has been a very pleasurable experience up to this point. And I just am really, just really thankful. And I would like for y'all to look over the information that I've got and say, hey, that's worthy of trying to help somebody else. Or, Chad, I don't think you need to do that, and that's perfect. Either way, I'll keep the notes for me. And like I said, maybe I need to just do my time and wait for somebody to be interested or thirsty for it, I guess. And that's cool too.
Talking there, Chad, some things kind of stood out to me. One is that you're willing to do your time. I know that's kind of how it feels, but really, part of the wonder of this hobby is that it is so many things. It is fun. It is educational. There is a service component for those who choose to participate. It's a bit of a struggle, but let's make it fun while we struggle. And learning is different to different people. I get that. Some folks, honestly, when I was on the executive board at the Blue Ridge Club, there were people who only wanted to come to meetings and sit down in a chair and watch a movie. They had no interest in the business of the club, no interest in the finances and, you know, the good that we were doing, the necessary things to keep this particular repeater that we're talking on, to keep it on the air. But all of that matters. Everything matters. And your sincerity has really impressed me, and it should. Because I'm listening not just to the words, but the intent of the words. So what you're suggesting will be helpful to other people. And all I suggest at this moment is that you be aware that this is a hobby that will last you your lifetime, the rest of your life. And you'll have more fun in it the more you learn about it, for sure. There are things that you'll not touch. Maybe you'll not touch moon bounce. Maybe you'll not touch repairing equipment, be it vintage tube equipment or new transistorized equipment, solid state stuff. Some people have an interest in that. Some people absolutely do not. They're appliance users. They don't want to know about circuits. If you get your extra class, you will understand circuits. It's necessary. but I just wanted to say that this is not intended to be any struggle that you do all by yourself. And Walt has proven to all of us that a step or two can be taken to share the struggle and to share the knowledge. That's all I got to say about that. KK4JBQ.
That sounds good. Well, on that note, Larry, I just want to tell, you know, the both of you, too, that one other thing that I have learned since we've started this on Tuesday night walks is that there's an aspect of this that just listening, you know, just listening to people talk. If you look at it this way, this is the way I see it, is that when you are standing in front of a person and you can see their body language, you get more inputs. You can see them. You can see their body language. You can, you know, on radio, you can't do that. You can only hear their voice. Now, you can pick up on deflections in their voice and understand emphasis and this, that, and the other. But one thing that I learned with both of y'all real quick since this whole thing has started is that all of the aspects of radio, like FT8, C4FM, CW, digital modes, moon bounce, just everything that comes with all of this is that right now, and I don't know that this will ever change for me. It may. I am interested in talking to the man or the person. And I mean a conversation. Your grid is important and where you live is important. But, you know, there's a lot of information that can be gained and learned from just listening and having a pleasurable conversation with a person. And I don't want to get all weird here, but that's the aspect of this whole hobby right now that that I'm interested in. If I want to send an email, I'll do that on my phone. Now, there may be a day when I can't do that on my phone, but it's just a lot simpler. But, Walt, I'd listened to you before you started your classes talk about building antennas, and I just remember you saying, and there's a couple of times I've been out there trimming my antenna, and I have to trim it down to a quarter of an inch at a time. And I remember the first time you saying that before we started the classes, and I thought, what is he talking about? Why? What does that mean? Well, the other day, when I got enough confidence to build this own antenna of mine, and I put the meter on it, and this is a perfect example of writing down like 80 meters right here, everything I can expect with 80 meters, I can't tell you what that... That just made my confidence that much higher when I'm trimming that antenna and I'm watching my SWR meter move every time I trim it. And what I'm trying to say is, Walt, if you hadn't told me that story or talked to me about that, it would have been more difficult for it to click as I'm out there trimming that antenna, because there was a point where I went... Walt was talking about this, and it was so exciting. I was out there hooping and hollering. Anna came out, "What's the matter with you?" And I'm just like, "Come here, look at this. And there was a point where I was trimming, you know, cutting out. I made the antenna 4 feet too long on each end, or 4 feet total, two feet on each end. So when I start trimming the antenna, I'm not seeing anything much happen. Matter of fact, I think there for a little bit, the SWR got worse. And I'm thinking, oh man, I've done something wrong. But there was a point where I made this magical cut, and the SWR changed drastically. It was not where I wanted it, but it changed. And then it clicked, hey, I remember Walt telling everybody on the net one time about building the antenna, and that he had to do a quarter inch at a time. And I just came back in and looked at my notes, at the things that y'all had told me that I had scribbled down on the notes, and man, it just... I mean, I don't want to be dramatic, but it was dramatic for me. And I'm just that kind of person, though. Not everybody's like that. But those little details like that, from just listening, and maybe people are just not geared like me, I guess. But I just thought, okay, this is exactly what Walt and Larry said was going to happen, and it's happening. And just so I'm clear here, and I don't want to be long-winded, but when you have those details and you get in the moment and you're doing what is written in those details, that's just the extra amount of confidence that you need to get to that point, to get to where it's okay, well, Walt said this would happen, and Larry said this would happen, and I just, you know, I get, maybe everybody's just not geared like me, but I just, when I can see what a wiser person tells me, okay, well, if you do that, Chad, here's what's going to happen. I mean, that's a lot of confidence there, and I just want y'all to understand that, and I know y'all have experienced that, but let me shut up for a minute and let y'all comment on that.
Dude, what's your IQ?
I shouldn't say again?
What's your IQ could be?
But I'm a little slow, but I do the best I can do. But, Larry, you got, or Walt, you got any comments in there?
It kind of jump up and down when I put up an antenna. And I trim that thing, and that SWR meter goes down to 1:1. I still jump up and down. This five-band dipole I got out here ought to give you that range. Unless you try trimming that thing down, Chad. That's, boy, you trim one wire, you gotta go back up and trim the other, and then it affects the band down below it. You gotta either lengthen or shorten that one. It's a learning experience. I love messing with antennas, and I very seldom buy one. I've always got wires somewhere to make one. I just love building them and experimenting with them, Chad. So, Larry, you got anything else to say?
Y'all have met my wife. But she's fond of saying you've always got something else to say, don't you? Yes, I do. And it's a failing of mine. I cannot keep my mouth shut. Although my call sign ends in, my suffix is JBQ, just be quiet. She reminds me of that once in a while. But, yes, you're absolutely right. You should listen to what other people say who have been around longer. Most people who have something to say have best intent. Now, some don't. You understand my meaning there. Some would make your trip a little longer around the barn if they could, just to watch. But most people are sincere. And you can catch that, of course. You can catch that. I can recall things that my dad said to me when I was just, I wasn't as tall as his hip, 4, 5, 6 years old. They still come back to me. Yes, you will remember things said by others that you learn to respect. That's an important element that you learn to respect many years hence. That's always true. And we should all be aware that, as I said before, other people are listening. And maybe it's helpful to them, and maybe it's silly and nonsensical to them. That don't matter. Unless they want to contribute, take issue. I'm not talking about an argument. I'm talking about a sincere search for the truth, or to reveal something about it that is truthful. Maybe that's a better way to put it. All this is good. It's good effort. And your intent to multiply the benefits in ways that you can, well, that's very worthwhile. And I respect that. KK4JBQ.
Make sure I got this. 2 weeks ago, in my notes, in a little scribble right here, I wrote the word sinusoidal, which means we were talking about antennas 2 weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago. You mentioned the word sinusoidal, which means sine wave. So the sine wave moves through a baseline, and that's basically a simple vector, I guess, if you're looking at it from, you know, a sine wave point of view. Well, that made absolutely no sense to me. None. At the same time, I'm out there trimming this antenna, and I remember Walt saying I've had to trim a quarter of an inch off of the time at the ends. When I had the analyzer on the antenna, I would trim it, check my SWR. That clicked in my mind what was talking about the quarter of an inch. But when the antenna SWR was met, there was a function on the analyzer that said multi-band graph or multi-band SWR something something. at any rate, I was able to look at that SWR dip, or resonant, how resonant the antenna was at that frequency I was trying to trim to. Somehow or another, I messed up and hit multi-band. So when it graphed that resonance of that wave through most of the bands, 80 through, I want to say, 15 or something. And it clicked then that, okay, well, Larry said this is basically a sine wave here. This looks a lot like a sine wave. And the whole formula, 468 divided by the frequency equals your trim length at a half wave antenna. So that's half of the wave. When I got to see that graph moving through the band, it dawned on me. I should be able to predict if this is a half wave antenna, because it's sinusoidal and it moves through a vector, I should be able to predict, and there should be resonance on other frequencies. The SWR may not be the same, but it's going to be resonant on another frequency. I'll have a little higher SWR. So when I hit the wrong button and saw that I was able to graph that, I X'd out of it real quick, came back in the ham shack, was thinking about what I had done, and okay, am I ready to test this thing out? And it clicked just like that. Okay, well, this is a half-wave antenna, and it's resonant at this frequency. I should be able to predict other frequencies that it's resonance on. So I went right back out there and graphed it again, this time intentionally. And it clicked. It clicked. So that's what I'm trying to say, is that when you don't have the body language or the hand movements talking to somebody, you have to really focus on the words. And those little scribbly notes that I write down here that y'all have told me, and I get out there and I'm building this thing, I'm thinking, this is not going to work well. But I'm going to try it, and I'm going to talk about my failure on Tuesday night, and maybe they can tell me where I went wrong. Well, 2 hours later, about 3 hours later, I'm up on it and I'm talking from a piece of wire that came from Iraq, and that was a lot for me. That was a lot for me. Other guys, well, what's the big deal? Well, it is to me. So I guess that's why I just want to just bring home to y'all that the things that I put in this note that's just scribbly and things like that, when you get out there and you start doing it, and then we talk about 80 meters tonight, there's things in here that I didn't know about 80 meters. And so now when I start to learn the frequency and what's there and it's available, hey, Larry told me this would happen, or Walt told me that was happening. And for me, I like I said, I don't want to get all weird or anything, but I'm just saying that's helpful information for me. And I just, you know, I appreciate it. I really do. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
JBQ. Well, another thing, maybe you can do some more scribbling in the margin. I have, for a very long time, considered that it's easier for someone who plays a musical instrument to understand antennas. When you took this analyzer and you asked it to give you frequencies on other bands where the antenna was harmonic, so there it should have clicked. Harmonies. There are harmonics within the band, but there are harmonics outside the band as well. one of the magic things to remember, it is the, within the band, it is the third harmonic of a frequency where you have the antenna tuned to or cut to, whatever. It's the third harmonic that will be, that will also be resonant. Now you can see this in a very practical sense. You can see this if you're in fluorescent lighting and you know that that fluoresces at 60 cycles per second. What it does is it strobes our eyes because of a thing called persistence of vision. We don't see the flickering unless the ballast is going bad in the lamp and you do see it flicker. It's always flickering at some frequency, be that as it may. If you try to tune a stringed instrument under fluorescent light, you can look at the strings and you can see them wave. There's a wave that, because of the strobe effect, there's a wave that you can see. This is why, for a musician, someone who understands music and harmonics, you can tie that together. This is out of a totally different area of knowledge, of course. Music and amateur radio, what's that got to do with one another? It is the frequencies. And you discovered it with your antenna analyzer. Just wanted to give you another way to picture it if you have tried to tune a stringed instrument. I know Walt has. He's spoken of it. KK4JBQ.
We can hang with you and find you a good spot to transmit. Go ahead.
K Yeah, good copy. I need to reboot the radio and reset some presets, but I'm just glad I was able to receive some radio traffic, and I will check back by here momentarily.
Didn't reboot anything because that was very audible. That was just a little bit of white noise, and I was able to make out every word you said. So I wouldn't change a thing on the radio if it's an HT, because you definitely made it in that time, and I heard every word you had to say. Whereabouts you located?
Okay, yeah, good copy. Yeah, that direction, that direction you were speaking of certainly worked. I am currently rolling through, currently in Greenville, South Greenville, and that strength finding signal certainly helped. Okay, where you can see, standing by, and I'll continue to tinker with the radio.
Fellas, see there? I mean, I got to pass it along for the first time since I've been a ham operator. that was great. That was great. So that'll make my journal for tonight, and I'm really excited for that. And I'm you know, I appreciate you two guys have. Well, let me leave it at that. I don't want to get all weird on the radio, but things like that mean something to me, and I just, you know, I really appreciate that. But I'm going to let it go with that, and Larry, I will email you, and Walt, I will email you what I have on the Warren's repeater, even though we haven't discussed any of that information. But a short paragraph of what I have learned on antennas, and maybe you could give me some ideas, or we'll chat with Sorty on the CD that we had with the Blue Ridge repeater system, or this, that, and the other. And I feel like I've scared both of you to death, and that was not at all what I was trying to get to, or was trying to say. But maybe a new guy needs to get far enough in his journey to where he's wanting the information bad enough to pursue first. And maybe that's the key. I don't know. But anyway, I just want to say thanks to both of you. And y'all have been really helpful. And I really appreciate it. I really do. A KO4NUE. And I will be clear, and I'm gonna monitor for a few minutes, and then I'm gonna have to let y'all go.
You wait, Chad. In my heart, I'm like you. I want to help, and I'm thankful that some of the information I have told you, you've been able to use to help you out with the antenna. I feel that very helped you more than I have. So I'll say 7-3s to you, Chad. And Barry, you got anything else to say?
For JBQ, just one observation. I do believe that the station is trying to reach the repeater, which after all is what we all are trying to do. Is a mobile station. And if you're stationary, you have a lot better chance of finding what we call an X, or a place where the signal strength coming in and the signal strength going out is stronger. That's your X. It comes from the theater. If an actor walks out onto the stage to deliver his lines, to interact with other actors on the stage, there is an X on the floor. The audience can't see that. But that's exactly where the director wants the actor to be when he delivers this line. That's where the X came from. In a mobile station, it's a constantly moving antenna attached to a constantly moving vehicle. So you'll go down into a dip in the road, and the receive signal as well as the transmit signal goes away because it's being blocked by the terrain. Important to realize that station is mobile, and he'll have varying experience of his receive as well as his transmit. That's all I have to say, except I think this time is worthwhile. I look forward to next Tuesday already. KK4JBQ.
Myself to have this round table, and I always know that following me tomorrow night will be KI4DOS with the swap net, and I appreciate you sticking around, Larry, to help me out with this with all your information, and KI4LZI, Andy up there, and KI4DOS, and there was another station or two that checked in with some information. I didn't write it down here on my pad, but I thank all of you for sticking around. Just one night I was sitting here and I knew that there were people that was afraid to get on during the ride tube portion because they had questions they wanted to ask. But they didn't want people to think they were stupid for asking those questions. So I said, well, on the ACAP, we have a roundtable discussion, and why not do it here? I talked to W4DJW about it. He said, well, Walt, that's what the drag tube portion's about. He said, but go ahead and try it. And, looks like it's working out pretty good, and I thank all of you that's asking questions and answering questions. So with that, I'll say 7-3 to all of you, and I'll stick around to see if anybody else got to comment for a few minutes. So 7-3, anybody else got anything to say?
No one, I'm going to name it. I'm going to say this, and I am definitely clear. So the name of this thing that I'm going to put in written form, what I've learned, the title of it is going to be Everything Affects Everything, a quarter inch at a time. How about that?
Good one. And that is absolutely right. Optimize one thing, you're going to decrease something else. You got to reach a medium in there somewhere. That's like trimming that antenna for a certain frequency. You give it up some to get some. So with that, I'll say 7-3, Chad.
Well, how's the purple back? Something down that you wanted to know about, what was it?
Well, Andy, was that all the information that everybody has been teaching me for the past 3 weeks, I've got some notes and scribble notes here that I've been writing down, and was going to put it on, type it on the computer, so if any of them ever, you know, struggles with this topic or this, that, or, for example, all the stuff I've learned on antennas, I've been writing all that down. And if a new guy comes on board and has some questions, I could email him the information that I had learned. And we just been talking about that. And a couple weeks ago, Larry left me with training nights. He said, just remember this before we go. Everything affects everything. And then Walt taught me 2 weeks ago, well, months ago actually, that in order to get an antenna tuned and resonant, he's had to trim a quarter of an inch at a time off the end of the antenna. And those two things just kind of stuck with me. So this little diary that I'm writing, I'm going to name it Everything Affects Everything, a quarter inch at a time. What do you think about that, Larry?
That's great. And this reminds me of a class I was sitting in once upon a time. I think we were discussing statistics and probabilities, a math class. And what I took away from that class and what has helped me in so many ways, in so many areas of life, is that a statistician, someone who works with the probabilities of something happening or not happening, will try to hold one thing constant. There's everything has variables. You must control one thing. It becomes easier then. The more things you can control, well, you have to identify them first, but the more things you can control, the closer you will get to an answer. And their expression for that is, and you've heard this before, when someone says, all things being equal, or in order to work some problems, you have to hold other things constant and then choose to vary one thing. When you're tuning an antenna, you have so many variables going on, so many things up in the air, that you get them nailed down. You make sure your initial measurements are correct. You measure twice and cut once, you know. And you make sure when you make connections that they're watertight, that, well, you just hold everything in constant, that you can, and then vary one thing, and that's the quarter inch at a time. The whole world is like this. Everything is like this. It's sometimes difficult to see how everything is variable. And I'm talking about everything. Recipes when you cook, how you measure your coffee. Do you do it by the handful, or do you do it with a teaspoon, or do you take a measuring spoon? How accurate do you want to be? How exacting do you have to be to get a correct answer? Anyway, KK4JBQ.
Where's the airport? First things I bought when I first got started getting my gear in 06 is I bought an SWR analyzer. I knew I would need that for sure. With all the different bands that we have, that was going to be a very crucial thing to make sure that the SWR is right. And as far as the warning system goes, it covers most of Pickens County, parts of Anderson County, and I don't know, there's at least 16 or 17 repeaters on the warning system, not counting Billy K908's 4-7 machine. And there's a website for that, but N4LRD is the one that keeps the main system going for all of it, and he's the one that can give you the most details about it because he's the one that keeps the whole thing working. I mentioned him once before. I don't see how he has time to do anything else, but somehow or another, he works in with what his job is anyway. KI4, hell's the I4, what, Walt?
You got much else to say. I done took my amp to Tripoline and
I'm getting sleepy. But I've enjoyed it tonight. I'm going to have to say 73s to KO4NUE and K4JBQ, Larry, and KI4LZI, Andy up there. If y'all want to go ahead and talk, y'all talk, but I've got to call it tonight.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you hanging as long as you did. But yeah, 73's to you. But I'm gonna clear on out too, Andy. I got a lot of information on Warren's repeater. I get pages and pages of it, and it's absolutely fascinating how all that works. And I'll share it with you. I'm sure you know much more than I do, but. I think I've talked with about everybody I know to talk to except that one call. I even talked with the amateur radio operator at Greenville-Spartanburg Airport and let him explain how it works from his perspective, and then I've talked with Billy, K90H, on his perspective. And when the last storm came through a month ago, actually listened to the net go into a standby net and then an actual directed net, and was able to participate in that and know how it works, and it made a difference just to know how it worked. But anyway, that's a lengthy subject, especially with all the information I got here. But Andy, thanks for contributing. Thanks for teaching me. Larry, thanks for contributing. Thanks for teaching me. And Walt, thanks for contributing and teaching me. I really appreciate it. I really do. It's KO4NUE, 73s to y'all, and I am definitely clear.
Go ahead, Larry.
Just about everybody has had their say and has talked themselves into a slumber. And I'm going to do the same thing. I hope that you were listening to, well, the last hour and a half of this. A lot of good things were said, and as I may have said a couple of times, and I'll say it again, this has been worthwhile, and I look forward to next Tuesday night. So, KI4LZI, KO4NUE, K4OIM, and anybody else out there who's listening, this is KK4JBQ. I'm clear.
Surprised me when I come back in here and y'all were still in here, because a lot of times y'all ain't still here, but N4LRD, he works with all the repeater owners that owns all these repeaters, and he's the main guy that keeps everything functioning. And that's who you want to talk to. It's called N4LRD Richard. Right now, I done forgot his last name, but he frequents our meetings out here at the Pekin ZOC on the first Tuesday of the month, very a lot out here. So I see him quite a bit. KI4LZI Portable.